If you don't know how to make $300,000 a year, I've solved that problem. I can produce $12 to $20 million a year from training. The truth is it is easy to make money. Now, if someone's going, no, it isn't. The reason it's not easy for you is because you think it's not easy. Simple that shit is, stop thinking it's not easy.
Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate your time.
No problem. It's Andy Mai.
Yes.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. It's 8 a.m., so it's like start of the day, Saturday. I think it's quite late over yours, right? What time is it in the States at the moment?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, got it. Friday afternoon. Thank you for doing this on a Friday afternoon. I know it's like the end of your week, so thank you.
My pleasure.
Whereabouts are you based in the States, Brad?
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Got it. I've been like following your content for some time. You've been constantly popping up on my feed on Instagram, TikTok, and I've been just loving watching how real you are, and you have these like amazing clips that like I'm just like, yep, I agree with it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, the podcast is pretty casual. We usually sort of jump straight into it. Please tell me and the audience a bit about yourself and who you are, Brad, for those who don't know.
Well, for those of you that don't know, ultimately, when it boils down to the simplest form, I'm a business guy. And I have a podcast. So I like to say I'm a business guy with a podcast. Why? Because that's at the end of the day what I am. And I'm an entrepreneur. That's a buzzword nowadays. But entrepreneur is just a guy who takes more financial risk than most, right? Right? That's really all it is. And that's me. So like I start businesses. I run businesses. I've founded and grown businesses. I'm known as a sales expert, a podcaster, a philanthropist. All over, father, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, I'm a business guy with a podcast. That's all I am. And I'm a little bit of a social media influencer now too, because for some reason, 3 or 4 million people decided they wanted to follow me and listen to my daily nuggets.
What's your current main focus? I know you got Lightspeed. I know you got the podcast. I know you recently started an insurance company. Are you sort of, is everything your focus at the moment?
Well, it's believe it or not, all of that is vertically integrated. My focus is to help people get out of the rat race by showing anyone how to make $300,000 to $500,000 a year to begin, and then how to grow that into $5 and $10 million a year. So, and now you're out of the rat race. So my goal is just simple. I'm trying to help people get out of the rat race. I just do that through several avenues. One being financial services. One being solar. One being merchant services. You know, there's several companies that are in industries where a good salesperson or a rep or independent distributor can make $500,000 a year.
How did you vertically integrate everything? Is it sort of the podcast sort of attracts a lot of audiences? People want to learn how to do sales, and then they learn from you, and then they could eventually then work at your solar company, insurance company. Is that how you vertically integrated everything?
No. I vertically integrated everything by solving problems, and that's really all you do. So I'll give you an example. So who wants to make $300,000 or $500,000 a year? Raise your hand. Now, how many people are going to raise their hand? Anyone not making $300,000 or $500,000, like you making $2 million, you're not going to raise your hand, right? So I'm looking for someone that ain't making $300,000 or $500,000. Now, a lot of people will tell you that's wrong. Why? Well, because you want to mess with people who got money. Why? Because it's easier to get money from people that have money than it is from people with no money. Well, what's no money? Because if you're not making $300,000 to $500,000 in your life, I'm thinking that's who I want to help. Why? They're the ones struggling. I don't need to help the people making $500,000. You making $500,000 plus, you're doing pretty good. Yeah, I can still coach you and help you and grow and scale. But like I'm talking about, look, if you ain't even making $300,000 to $500,000, let me help you. Now, if you say yes, I need help. Dude, I don't care if you sell solar, I don't care if you sell carpet, I don't care if you sell cars, I don't care if you sell books, I don't care what you do, but you're going to sell, yes or no. You cannot be successful without selling something. Nobody I know that is successful without selling something. So we already know you're going to sell something, therefore I need to get and make sure that you know how to sell. Coincidentally, I spent my whole life teaching people how to sell, close, and persuade, so I can do that for you. I teach you how to sell. Then I got to say, now what will you sell? Now you can go sell whatever you want with those skills, my friend. But if you're smart, you want to talk about, you know, industries where the average person is making $300,000 to $500,000. It's not every industry. Your average car salesman is not making $300,000 to $500,000 a year. Your average freaking, you know, realtor is not making $300,000 to $500,000 a year. So what industry do you know of that the average person makes $300,000 to $500,000 a year?
I don't know, business, having your own your own business, medical, doctor, dentist.
I don't know. I'm looking for those every day, but I found a few. So the few that I found, I started an organization to where now I can teach you how to sell and close, and now I can give you a job doing it, right? You don't have to go hunt for a job, apply for a job, and find a job. I'll give you the damn job. That's why I started those companies. So they were vertically integrated by solving a problem of now you got to go get a job. So rather than me teach you how to get a job and listen to why you didn't get a job, and I'll just give you the damn job.
How have you sort of attracted people who are currently, in sales, they're making maybe 50, 60, 100 grand a year, and they want to get to that 300K a year? Is it all organic? Do you run ads? How have you attracted all these people, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, well, I haven't attracted all these people yet, but give me 3 to 5 years because I've never really went out and focused on this. My mission before was to get the knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it, which is still my mission. That's finding people that have the right way to do things, the successful way of doing things, and then basically create a, you know, knowledge transfer to the people that don't know how to do it. Because that's why people don't win, man. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to do it. So if we could just show them how to do it, shouldn't everybody do it? And I personally want to live in a world that's more successful. So I think to myself, how do I get everybody more successful? Well, they need to know what I know. They need to know the right things. Who knows what I'm talking about? Now, people will raise their hand. If they already know what I'm talking about, they're already making 300 to 500, bro. If you ain't making 300 or 500 grand, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Okay, clearly. You know, people are like, is he talking about me? I don't know. Look in your damn bank account, bro. If you ain't making 300 to 500 grand a year, it's because you don't know how. I do. I do. Okay, so you'd go to bradley.com and say, I want to make that kind of money, and then do what the fuck I tell you to do. Now, if you do what I tell you to do, you'll make what I'm talking about and more. But I can't force you to do it. So that's the differentiator. That's why some people do it and some people don't. But at the end of the day, it boils down to selling something, doesn't it? Selling something and then, you know, ultimately finding the vehicle to sell. Because you can go be a really good salesperson in a certain industry and still only make 80, 90 grand a year. Why? Well, because the best in the business only make 80, 90 grand. One of the companies I started was a solar company. Solar's massive right now with the incentives of the government and the math, the way it works out, you're kind of foolish not to get solar if you know what you're doing. Even in Australia, anywhere, like solar is massive. It's a gold rush right now, right? I know kids 22, 23 years old walking into neighborhoods, knocking on doors, making $100,000 a month. Knocking on doors. Walk up to any neighborhood, point at it, they go in and get $30,000 out of the neighborhood in a week. Then they go to another neighborhood, get 30 more thousand. Then they go to another neighborhood, get 30 more thousand. Then they go to another neighborhood, get 30 more thousand. There's millions of neighborhoods and millions of 30 thousands they can get. But they don't do that. They start showing people how to knock on doors and get 20,000, and then they override 10 themselves. So now they got people out working for them. Long story short, there's people making a lot of money in the solar business. Why? Well, because they know how. So I started a solar business. So you don't have to try and go find a good solar business. You don't have to try and figure it out. Like, dude, real solar has already figured it out. The question is do you want to make a half million? Well, then we'll show you how to do it. You go do it. You gotta do the work. Anyway, you get what I'm saying?
I do. I think I was listening to another podcast, and the thing that really stood out was how you're talking about how you really want to give your salespeople great commissions. And you're sort of looking at the competitors and you're like, man, like I want to sort of give my salespeople huge commissions so that they stay with us. And that really stood out. You were so real and raw about that. And I think you had opportunities to partner with other people. And you're like, dude, like the commissions they're giving to their salespeople are like bad. Like I wouldn't want to work with them. And that was like, I was like, wow.
Well, I mean, again, because I've fortunately been successful in life, even though I dropped out of high school at 16, freaking, you know, I should not have been successful according to statistics. However, because I am, and money's not a big issue anymore, believe it or not, I realized along the way that to truly you know, get wealthy, you got to help other people. The wealthiest people in the world, believe it or not, you know, they have products and they're solving a lot of problems. Now you guys can say, well, like Bill Gates, he's causing a lot of problems. I'm not talking about after they get the money. I'm talking about how did they get the money? How did they get the money? They got the money by solving people's problems. You know what I'm saying? So you just have to, you know, realize that if you want to be wealthy, you want to be successful, you're going to have to freaking solve people's problems. You're going to have to help other people. It ain't about you. It's about other people. So as soon as you start focus on how do I help other people, that's actually when you're more effectively helping yourself. But it takes a while for people to understand that. It took a while for me to understand it. You know, Zig Ziglar said it one time. He says, the best way to get what you want is to help others get what they want. And I'd never really understood because I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, I'm worried about what I want. Like, you know, how do I get what I want? Well, you get what you want by letting them get what they want. Yeah, but I don't get it. Like, I just didn't get it. And then one day I look back, I'm like, I totally get what they're talking about. The second I started worrying about helping other people, not myself, is when I started gaining and winning. That's when I was helping myself the most when I wasn't helping myself. Help others and you'll help yourself. It's weird, but it's true. Anyway, that's kind of the motivation behind all that. I just wanted to, you know, help other people make money and get out of the rat race because I had a chance to. And I'm telling you, it's night and day, okay? Living paycheck to paycheck and struggling and not being able to put your kids in private school and private tutoring and vacations and cars when they turn of age. And, you know, you got to sweat rent and you got to sweat freaking insurance. And, you know, pandemic happens and you're screwed because you don't even got 3 months of bills in the bank. Dude, I feel bad for those people. Why do they deserve that kind of stress and agony? Why do they deserve that? Because they don't know what to do, because nobody ever educated them on what to do. Like, that's their biggest crime, is not knowing. When I've got the ability to share that knowledge, shit, let's go to work, boys. Let's create a freaking opportunity for people to get out of the rat race. And that's what that kind of gets me up every day.
With your training, Bradley.com, you talk about how, like, you train salespeople through accountability, repetition. There was a third one, but I can't remember the third one.
How do you sort of do that?
Okay, what are the four?
Good content, right? You have to know how to do it right in the first place. So good content you need. This is to train people effectively. You need good content, repetition, practice, and then accountability. Repetition is the key, okay? Most people are not going through training repeatedly. The ones that are, top level professionals. Look at any top level athlete and tell me if they don't have repetition in their life. Show me a top rated or a top trained military unit and tell me they've got no repetition in their life. Dude, repetition is the mother of learning. So you got to have repetition. Most people don't. And that's why they're not training their people. They're exposing their people. They're exposing their people to information, hoping, thinking and assuming that that's training, and it's not training. Like, watching videos doesn't make it training. Otherwise I'd be a black belt because I watch mixed martial arts all the time. So at the end of the day, training requires four key ingredients: good content, repetition, and then you got to practice. Now, again, you got to practice somehow. You want your people practicing on virtual customers or real ones? Which ones would you rather have them practice on?
Ideally, you want to give them real customers because they'll learn better, but then you don't want to burn the leads.
No, not to practice on, brother. Not to practice on. Okay, you give them virtual customers that say what the customers say and do what the customers do, but they're not real customers. Why? Because the virtual customers are basically free. You can make those up. The real customers cost money. Okay, average, you know, cost to get a customer to walk through a door, $300 to $400. So you're paying $300 to $400 to let your employee train and practice on the customer? No, you practice virtually, get them good, and then the real ones, they're trained. So repetition, practice, and accountability. There has to be something held accountable. Like, for example, if I teach you how to answer my phone and then I call and you don't answer it right and I don't say anything about it, well, that's no accountability. So there has to be accountability. You get those four things, you got a training system. You don't have those four things. You have an exposure system. And let me tell you something. Where are you from right now?
Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, so I don't know about Sydney, but in Las Vegas, Nevada, dude, exposure will get you arrested.
What does that mean, exposure?
That means you whip out your dick downtown Las Vegas, they're going to put you in jail. Okay, that's called exposure.
It's the same here, yeah.
Yeah, well, again, then you get arrested in Australia for exposure. So don't be exposing your employees to training. Train your employees. Otherwise, you're just exposing them, which would be exposure, and you can get arrested for exposure. Dude, if you're in Alaska, you could die from exposure. You know what that means?
It's just too cold.
That's right. You're exposed to the elements. You would die from exposure. In other words, exposure is not good, brother. Training is good.
And then with your system, how do you sort of like do virtual training? Like, is it just role playing? You have other team members go off like a script and it's just a bunch of role playing and team members keeping each other accountable. How do you sort of build that ecosystem to have all four?
Well, my friend, that's when you'd have to be one of our customers. Why? Because unless you have our software, you can't. But if you have our Lightspeed VT interactive training system, you can create that curriculum and put a system together that does all those things, which is what I accidentally invented for myself 21 years ago when I was trying to train people and couldn't get the job done because I didn't realize I was exposing them and not training them. So I built the software so I could start training them. And then everyone freaked out on the software and I started helping other people train people with my software. And then I just said, screw it, I don't need to be a trainer. I'll just help all the trainers. So then I licensed my software to thousands of trainers with a little rev share model built into it to where when they sold it, I got a little piece for my knees, a sliver to deliver, a fraction of the action, a tad because I'm Brad, a piece for my niece, you know what I'm saying? Slice because I'm nice. I get a little action. So times all the customers I have, that's a lot of action. So now old Jed's a millionaire, multimillionaire, and everyone says, wow, you're a genius. What'd you do? And I really didn't do anything except for, you know, came up and solved problems. Like people have problems. I can't get my people trained. I solved that problem. I can get people trained. You know, if you don't know how to make $300,000 a year, I've solved that problem. All you got to do is, you know, do the work. Like if you're not willing to do the work, I can't help you. It's almost like, dude, I can save you from drowning, but you got to swim towards me. I ain't got time to swim after people. You know, see what I'm saying? Like there's too many of them swimming towards me. The ones swimming away from me are going to drown.
Brad, how did you go about sort of building Lightspeed, like your software company? Like, did you hire a bunch of devs? Did you have experience like coding and developing software? Was it hard to like hire developers and communicate with them what you wanted?
Same way you built that fish tank behind you. And by the way, is that a virtual background or is that a real fish tank?
Real.
And how'd you build that fish tank?
I actually just bought it all set up like off Gumtree, Craigslist, off for like a cheap price and it was all set up.
That's what I do at Lightspeed.
Ah.
I'm joking. It wasn't all set up. No, dude, listen, I had to close somebody. It's all sales and closing. I had to close somebody on building the first version because I didn't have the money to build it. So I basically sold a developer to take his team and develop my first version in exchange for some future payment, which I closed him on. He built my first version. The first version allowed me to give him, you know, equity in a company. And now I took his whole development team in house and we became a company. Wow. So then that is the guy that sits across from me, old Jason Straub, which would be like, if we were Apple, I'm Steve Jobs and he's Wozniak. So I gave him a piece of the company, but I ultimately had to close him on building the first version. Then the first version, you know, didn't really go very far. So I talked him into building the second version. And then by the like fourth version, we started making money.
Have you like implemented AI into Lightspeed? Is that something you're thinking of? And how have you integrated that into the training?
Yes.
Yeah, we're messing with it because there's a lot of applications with AI. So we're messing with it and seeing various ways we can do that.
Another thing that really stood out was you had this crazy goal of you wanted to solve poverty. Is that something you're still working on? How's that going, Brad?
Ultimately, I would love that, but you know, I don't think it's possible. There's always going to be people that are incapable. When in reality, that's not true. Everyone is capable. Everyone is capable. So it wouldn't be that some aren't capable. Some aren't aware. Let me change that to where there's always going to be people who are unaware that they're capable. And I can't help those people. I can only help the people that are aware. So my job is to wake them up and make them aware that number one, they're capable. And then number two, the skill sets necessary to win. Dude, you can get anything you want in life if you just understand that it's three basic things. Okay, mindset, skill set, and habits. Your mindset, your skill set, and your habits. Those three things directly determine whether or not you're going to be successful. You have the wrong mindset, you have the wrong skill set, you have the wrong habits. You're not going to be successful, dude. I don't care what you do. But if you do have the right mindset, you do have the right skill sets, and you do form the right habits, dude, you're guaranteed success. Like, what are your habits? What do you do every day? I got fat people saying they don't want to be fat, but yet they eat all day long, fat food, me included. Hey, like right now, I'm heavier than I normally am. Why? Dude, listen, I'm not making excuses, but I'm telling you the truth. The truth is I got fat people eating fat food. Why? What's making them make that decision? They already know it's not good for them. They already know it's going to make them fat, and they already know that fat is not good. But they do it anyway. Well, that's what I'm saying. There are always going to be people that fall short and are unaware that they're capable. All fat people right now could be ripped. Not that they want to be or should want to. I'm just saying they could be capably. Now, someone might find something to make me wrong. Like, you know, here's a guy who's got a, you know, eating disorder and a thyroid problem, and you know, he runs 20 miles a day and eats 100 calories and he's still fat, you know. I ain't talking about those people. If you got a real medical condition that causes you to be overweight, hey, listen, I apologize. But at the end of the day, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the regular old fatties that are out there being fat because they're lazy and they have no discipline. They don't work out. They don't choose the right food. They're comfortable. And by the way, I'm included in that. Why? Well, shit, every Sunday, dude, I'm getting me a Five Guys and fries. I don't really care. Which is why I don't have 8% body fat. Why? Because I don't really care, dude. I'd rather freaking have a Five Guys and fries and die someday happy than freaking never have a Five Guys and fries and live probably the same amount of time in just a little better shape. Like, fuck that. I don't need to be in that good of shape. I'm married. Now, if I got single, that might change. Why? Well, because, dude, the more ripped you are, I think the more marketable you are. And as soon as I was single, I'd realize I'm on the market now, ain't I? And by the way, wouldn't that be cool if I was on the market at one point in time? Shit, get all shredded up, dialed in, freaking have all of them open up again. Because when you get married, basically you're trading all of them for one. So that's why I always tell my wife, I'm like, don't threaten me with a divorce, honey. Shit, like, don't threaten me with a good time girlfriend. She. No, I'm just joking. I prefer being married, honestly, because I like to be secure. Like, in other words, I hope, and by the way, this still happens, but generally speaking, if you're married and monogamous, you don't have the risk for sexual diseases. Like, I don't want gonorrhea or syphilis, right? And to me, like, you know, there's not such extravagant differences one from another. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you find one that you get along with, and you know, you get along in every way, if you know what I'm saying, you know, that's probably just as good as the next 10 you're gonna find, right? They're all going to have their issues. The question is, which ones can you tolerate?
How do you sort of manage balance as like a father? Like you have, is it four kids or more? And you work a lot.
How do you know that I work a lot?
I think I was hearing one of your conversation, you work 7 a.m. to like 7 p.m. and you do Saturdays and Sundays sometimes. You're in the office on the weekends. I don't know if that's still your routine.
I'll give you $1,000 if you can get me a video clip saying that.
Okay, I might be wrong.
I've never said 7 to 7. I don't think I work at all, quite frankly. Like, this isn't work. Okay. I come to the office usually from, I don't know, 9 to 5-ish, Monday through Friday. A lot of times I'll come in here from like noon to 4 on Saturday just because I need to get some work done with peace and quiet. And I've been known to work 7 days in a week, but you said the key word balance. How do I balance it? I don't balance it. I deal with it. In other words, like right now, if my wife called and said, you know, baby's crying and there's a tragedy at home, I gotta go. I gotta go. Business will be fine. I run home. If I have to stay there for 3 weeks, I'll stay there for 3 weeks. But then someone calls me from work, hey, this is happening, that's happening, I da 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 da. So now I'm gonna go pay attention to work. My kids are fine. I just spent 3 damn weeks with them. See what I'm saying? So it's almost like it's you just have to prioritize. There is no balance, you just prioritize. There's no such thing as balance, really. Like, hey, I spent 8 hours at work. Well, then I need to spend 8 hours at home. And what are you doing with the other 8 hours, by the way? How do you split those up? Because 8 hours at work, well, to have balance, I better spend 8 hours at home. And if you think about it, where do you spend your time? If you're spending 8 hours at home or at work, wouldn't you be spending 16 at home? Someone goes, no, they got to go places. That might be where the problem lies. Where are you going? To the bar? Where are you going? Like running tail? What are you doing? How are you using your time? That's the beautiful thing about being successful. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you choose where you are based on ultimately the choices that you make. So wherever you are is because you chose whatever you've chosen, right? Most people can grasp that. But think about this. Every dollar you've ever received is from a relationship. So if you want more dollars, where do they come from? They come from relationships. So would it make sense that if you want more money, get more relationships?
Makes total sense.
Yeah. So again, more hands you shake, more money you make. That's what I keep telling people. And then it goes right over their head. Like, you know, well, what do I do? Well, do you know how to meet people? One time someone said it was hard to get a job. They put in a million applications. Nobody's calling them back. They can't get a job. I said, dude, stop. Go to the mall, introduce yourself to people, find out what they do, and then simply ask them if you send them business, would they be willing to pay you? First person, hey, what do you do? I'm a dog groomer. Hey, if I sent you dogs to groom, would you give me a commission? Absolutely, I would. What do you do? I'm a landscaper. Hey, if I got you houses that want their yards landscaped, would you give me a commission? Of course I would. Like, you just got two jobs in 5 seconds. Like, what are you telling me there are no jobs? That's perspective, bro. You got to have the right perspective in life.
One thing that you brought up that was really interesting, you're talking about how you value relationship over money. And how that was like a huge lesson that you went through, and you're like, damn, like relationship is my main focus now.
Well, dude, because if all money comes from relationships, right? And you focus on the money, the relationship dies. How do I know that? Because what you focus on grows and what you ignore dies. So if you're focusing on the money, the relationship suffers. If the relationship suffers, is there potential it could go away? And if all dollars are come through relationships, is it possible that if it goes away, you'll get dollars? No. So you better pay attention to the relationship because that's where the money's coming from. Right? The money may fluctuate, but do you want it to continue? Well, then you better make sure that relationship continues. Make sense?
Makes total sense. How do you go about focusing on your own stuff, your own business, and then balancing this sort of relationship building, giving value, sort of checking in on people, seeing how people are, seeing if there's anything you can do to help, and then also balance your own business, what you're currently working on?
Well, I mean, like I said before, you don't balance it, you just do it. But like one of my morning routines, one of my morning rituals allow me to text 5 people every day and nurture and build relationships. So I just wake up in the morning and pick 5 people to shoot a message to that builds relationships, nurtures, forms, builds, establishes relationships. That's part of my morning routine. My morning routine, I wake up. Make sure I at least get the heart rate moving, right? Got to get the heart rate moving. Got to freaking send 5 messages to people that freaking I want to build, establish, or nurture a relationship with. I need to figure out 5 things that are going to drive revenue today that I must do before I go to bed. And then I have 20 minutes of reading so I can get new information. Because if you really think about it, dude, this goes over people's heads a lot, but if you really think about it, if you are getting what you're getting, it's because you're doing what you're doing. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, that you get what you get because you're doing what you're doing. So if you want to change what you're getting, you got to change what you're doing. Right? So people want to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. Like you got to change what you're doing, and people don't want to change what they're doing. So in order to change what you're doing, you have to change what you believe. Because the reason you do what you do is because you believe what you believe. Make sense? So if you want to change what you do, you have to change what you believe, and there's only one way to change what you believe. Do you know the only way to change what you believe is
Learning, studying, reading.
reevaluating, getting new information? You have to have new information to change a belief. You have to. There's no way that you can have the same information and change your beliefs. So in order to change your beliefs, you need new information. Are you doing it on a regular basis, yes or no? If the answer is no, well, then I would strongly suggest, if you want to be successful in life, start to adopt my morning ritual, which one of the four things, it's actually five things, but one of the four things is read 20 pages a day. Listen to an audio while you're running the treadmill, getting your heart rate up. Like, there's so many ways you can time hack this, but at the end of the day, are you doing it every day? The answer is no. Well, then you're not really that serious, are you? I always tell people, take off the jersey, you're getting the game. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
How do you go about choosing what type of books you're going to read? Is it based on a recommended list? Is it based on what you're currently working on? Say you're working on a solar company, you just buy a bunch of books on solar.
All the above. So when somebody tells me there's a great book about this, that, and the other thing, bam, I'm on it. Somebody tells me, hey, have you read the book on such and such? Bang, I'm on it. I decide I want to start doing this or that or the other thing. I'm looking for books on that subject. Because you want me to tell you how to get anything you want in life?
How?
Number one, you got to figure out what it is, right? Would it make sense that if you go out hunting for something, you know what it looks like? Okay, so you got to know what it is first. Figure out what it is. That's the hard part. Second part is figuring out how to get it. Now, believe it or not, most people think that's the hard part, and that's actually the easy part. Figuring out how to get it is easy. I can show you how to get anything you want in life. How? Number one, figure out what it is. Number two, figure out how to get it. That is how you get anything you want in life. But people say, wait a minute, Brad, I don't know how to get it. That's the problem. Okay, so here's how you get it. Ready? You find someone who's already got it. You find someone who's already done it. You find someone who's already there, and you ask them what they did. And then you do the work. That's step three. Because like action causes like result. Right? So all you have to do is figure out what it is that you want, and then go figure out how to get it, which is finding someone who's already got it, right? And then ask them what they did, and then do the work. And then the fourth one is make adjustments, because a lot of people think putting blinders on is the answer, and it's not the answer. Sometimes if you put blinders on and you don't pay attention to the feedback, dude, you end up way away from where you should be. Why? Because you weren't paying attention to the feedback. You weren't listening to the marketplace. You weren't freaking paying attention. Dude, you had blinders on and you were just, no matter what, this is what I'm doing. Like, don't be so bullheaded. Okay, listen to the feedback. Pay attention to what's happening with your business and the feedback from the users and the customers, and be willing to make adjustments. You make adjustments. Like, when I started out, dude, I was going to be a trainer, right? Even though now I can produce $12 to $20 million a year from training, I started out to be a trainer. Well, what made me successful, dude, was not training. I would have kept trying to be a trainer if I didn't pay attention. And what was happening is I had the training system, but people didn't know who I was. They didn't want my training. They wanted someone else's training. Well, I could have sat there and argued with them or not got a sale, but I realized, I'll go get the dude that they're talking about to use my system. So now they get the dude they want and I get the sale. See what I'm saying? So I pivoted and I said, okay, I won't be a trainer. I'll go help the trainers. So if I didn't pivot, I might not be here. Now, again, I could be a billionaire and I could have kicked all their asses. Who knows? The bottom line is what happened to me was I decided that I wanted to pay attention to what people are saying and use that information to navigate. Because again, it's a navigation, man. And in life, you're going to have two voices in your head. One I call the negotiator, right? That's the bitch voice. The negotiator, that's the one that negotiates all your dreams away from you. You ever heard that guy?
Yeah, always telling me, hey, you should sleep in, you're tired, you had a late night, take it easy.
That's your negotiator. Then your other voice, dude, is your navigator. That's the boss voice. That's the navigator. The navigator knows what's best for you. And it's called intuition too. And you already know what's right and what's wrong. You already know what's good for you, bro. You're just not listening. Why? Because you're listening to the negotiator, because you're weak and you're soft. And by the way, if you're thinking, well, how does he know me? I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to anyone who hears what I'm saying. The negotiator, who we all have, will negotiate everything you want away from you. In other words, dude, do not feed the negotiator. Feed the navigator. The navigator is the one where when they say something, just jump, do it. Don't question it. Don't question the navigator, dog. The navigator says, hey, you should probably start working out. Get your ass up and start working out. And by the way, if you guys want a good book, this is another way I get good books. If you guys want a good book on this subject, go get The War of Art. Now, some people will say, do you mean The Art of War, Brad? No, that's Sun Tzu, not meaning The Art of War. I'm talking about The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. He basically will show you exactly what I'm talking about when I'm saying ultimately what causes you apprehension and tension and caution and all that is what you're supposed to be doing. That's how you know you're supposed to be doing it. When, like, I know I'm supposed to be working out, right? But I don't really like it. It's pain in the ass. Got to get up. It's all uncomfortable. That's why you need to do that. And believe it or not, if you let that be your guide, which is basically discomfort, if you seek comfort, seek discomfort. If you seek discomfort, seek comfort. It's almost backwards. It's like a trick they're playing on us. And what's funny, dude, is like you hear Andrew Tate out there in the game saying, you know, this is the Matrix. Well, again, I don't believe that there's, you know, pods with things in people's head, but the Matrix in general, what he's talking about is this is reality. This is society. This is stupidity all balled up in one, the Matrix. And what's crazy is a lot of people have no idea that making money is actually easy. A lot of people don't understand that life is fair. Have you ever been told life isn't fair?
Yeah, all the time.
Dude, life is as fair as a motherfucker, dog. Life is so fair, it's unbelievable. That's the truth. The truth is it is easy to make money. Now, if someone's going, no, it isn't. The reason it's not easy for you is because you think it's not easy. See how simple that shit is? Stop thinking it's not easy. Well, how? Because it's not easy. No, you think it's not easy. It is easy. I know lots of people making lots of money. Making money is easy. Might not be easy for you, but it's easy. So as soon as you start realizing that making money is easy and start believing that making money is easy and stop being sold on making money's difficult, life ain't fair. When you're done listening to that bullshit, you'll start getting somewhere because life is easy. Life is fair. Making money is easy. Making money's not hard. Anyone can do it, but not if they don't think they can. See, that's the craziest part about the human mind. It's so powerful. If you think it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It literally stops working if you think it stops working. But on the opposite side, if you think it works, it does work. But you got to ask yourself a question. Do you actually think life is easy? Because if you do, you're right. Life is easy, dog, and I'd agree with you. But if you think life is hard, it's because you think it's fucking hard. Stop thinking it's so fucking hard. Stop thinking there's some huge, massive formula to figure out. It's simple, dude. Figure out what you want. Figure out who's already done it. Go ask them. Go read their book. Go take their course. Execute on what they tell you to do and not do. Don't question the shit. They're already there. They've already got it. Don't question them. Go do it. Now, again, if you do what people do, you'll nine times out of 10 get what people got. Because like action causes like result. It's a universal law. It's not a question. Just like if you jump up in your chair, you're going to come back down. That's a universal law. It's called gravity. There's no question. I know if you jump up right now, you'll land right back in your seat. Watch, go ahead. Try to stay up there. You won't. Why? It's a universal law. It's a universal law. So is that. It's no question. You do what people do, you'll get what people got. Why? Like action causes like result, dude. People say, Brad, you know, how'd your podcast get so big? I've been trying to do a podcast. And I say, how many episodes do they have? And they say four. And I say, I've got 700 damn near. Go do 700 of them and tell me if you're still in the same boat. I call him back 6 months later. How you doing? What episode you on? Oh, I quit. Okay. Then other ones. Hey, how you doing? Dude, I'm on episode 280. We're freaking number 9 on the freaking, you know, business podcast list in iTunes. We're freaking kicking ass. People are paying me to freaking, dude, it's blowing up. Unbelievable. What's the difference between those two?
He kept going. He didn't give up.
One did the work, bro, which is the third one. You got to do the work, man. That's why they call it work, because it works. Most people aren't willing to do the work. And the reason they're not willing to do the work is because they don't actually want what they claim they do. So I want to be rich, but I'm not getting up early and working hard and being smart and solving problems. I want to be in shape, but I'm not going to the gym, eating right, and sacrificing my fucking donuts. I want to do this. But no. You don't actually want to do that. If you actually wanted to do it, guess what? You wouldn't be eating the donuts. You wouldn't be skipping the gym, and you wouldn't be going home at 5 p.m.
Brad, do you also see things such as like making $1 billion as something that's achievable and easy? And then do you also expect it to take 20 years, or do you think it's easy and you can do it in a short amount of time?
You can do it in a short amount of time. Someone asked me the other day, what's the best way to get rich? And I said, quickly. They were trying to figure out what to do. You know, what avenue should I take to get rich the quickest? What's the best way to get rich? The best way to get rich is quickly. Okay. So do I think it's possible? 100%. I think it's possible, because if my dumb ass didn't think it was possible, it wouldn't be. So of course I think it's possible. I think anything's possible. And I definitely think that's possible because I do it. So I know it's possible. Now, the question is how can you do it? Well, again, depends on, you know, where you live, what you know, what you have, what are your resources? You know what I'm saying? What's your background? What's your credibility? What, you know, what's your personal brand like? Like, do you have a personal brand? If you're like, no, well, again, then you can't do what I'm doing. Why? Because, dude, I can do a swipe up and have 1,000 people raise their hand for something or another. They're like, well, you have a social media. That's because I did what I did. Have you done what I've done? No. Well, then shut up and do what I did. And then I bet you do. See, it's so easy. It's crazy how people don't get it. But what was your question? Because I don't want to go off on a tangent.
Making $1 billion in a short amount of time versus thinking it would take 20 years and just grinding it out for 20 years.
Yep. So here, I see you're taking notes. I want you to write this down. Anyone listening, write this down and you'll see how easy it is to make $1 million. You ready? Write a one and then write times 1 million. Okay, write that. 1 times 1 million. Now write 10 times 100,000. Now write 100 times 10,000. Now write 1,000 times 1,000. Now write 10,000 times 100. Now write 100,000 times 10. And then write 1 million times 1. Did you do it?
Yeah, I wrote it down.
No, you didn't. You stopped halfway through.
You're right. I stopped at 10 times 100,000, but then it'll be 100 times 10,000 and then 1,000 times 1,000.
Write it down. See what I mean? You didn't even follow simple ass instructions.
You're right. All right. Let me write it down.
Everybody else didn't either. You know, you got your own way of doing it, huh?
And then 10,000 times.
You see what I'm saying, dude? That's an exercise to show what people do. People do the same thing you just did. You're like, yeah, I got it. Do what the fuck you're told.
Yeah.
Now, people don't do that. So if they started like finding someone that's already been there, they got to listen to what they're saying and do what they're telling them to do. That's doing the work. But in this case, I'm just busting your chops, but making a good example of what I'm talking about is to be real, because you just did it in real time.
I did.
Finish now. Have you done what I told you to do?
I did. I wrote it all.
Okay, good. Now, this is how easy it is to make $1 million. Ask yourself this question. Do you have any product or service right now available to you that you could get one person, look at the top of that list, that you could get one person to give you $1 million for?
No.
Okay, go down. Cross that one out, by the way. Okay. Now go down. Do you have anything that you could sell 10 people for 100,000?
No.
Cross that out. Do you have anything where you could sell, what's the next one?
10,000 times 100.
Yeah, 100 people, something for 10,000. Yes or no?
Yes.
You
yes.
do? There's your fucking $1 million, bro. How easy was that?
Yeah.
And by the way, there's the plan. What are you doing? You're going to sell a $10,000 product to 100 people. Great. Now, how, what is that progress? Because again, if you say something stupid that's not worth 10 grand and I'm like, I don't think anyone will buy that, that doesn't mean they won't. It means I don't believe that they will. They might. The question is do you have a plan to make $1 million? Because if someone doesn't have a plan, how likely is it they're going to make it?
Not likely.
Right, so you got to have a plan. There's a plan for everybody, dude. All you got to do is keep going down that list until you figure out somewhere that says yes. Like when it comes to selling courses online, which is what I help people do, I do that exercise all the time, because when someone says, how much should it be? I don't know. How much are you trying to make? You know, I'm trying to make, you know, $1 million a month. Okay, you want to make $1 million a month? No problem. Put 1 times 1 million, 10 times 100, and you do that exercise. And somewhere along the line, dude, do you have anything? And you might have to get to, do you have anything that you can sell for $10? Oh yeah, I got, and then they, you see them change. Like they believe that. $10? Yeah, I got something worth $10. Great, you just need to sell it to 100,000 people. Now again, when someone goes, well, how do you do that? Well, again, same reason, same way you get everything else. You figure out who's already sold something for 100,000, like me in this case. And I'll tell you how to do that. Because why? Because I've already done it 1 million times. I can show you how to do it. It's not that hard. But yet some people are sitting there going, it ain't that easy. 3 years later, oh, that guy's full of shit. It can't be that easy. Like, dude, it is that easy. Making money's easy. Life is fair. Okay, let that go through your head 1,000 times. Making money is easy. Life is fair. And then believe it or not, we start to argue with ourselves. Our own, you know, negotiator voice starts popping up going, oh, dude, he's just, you know, trying to get you to buy his book. No. Oh, well, you know, I worked hard last year and I didn't make it, so it must be impossible. No. And you talk yourself out of shit.
So when you sort of look at the people who've made the most amount of money in the quickest time, you sort of look at the Mark Zuckerbergs, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and they're all doing completely different things. They got like social media platform. They got like Amazon, which is like a whole e-commerce platform. Does that mean if you want to make the quickest money, you go down that route because they've done it the quickest for their age?
Well, it just depends. Again, who are you? Where are you at? What's your family life? What's your situation? Like, it all matters, dude. I can't tell somebody what to do. I'm not in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guy's got kids and a responsibility. I wouldn't give him the same advice as I'd give a guy with no kids and no wife and no responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Where are you at? What, you know, how old are you? What's your background? What's your credibility? What are your resources? It all matters. Someone tries to tell you it doesn't matter. It does matter. That shit matters.
Talking about children, Brad, do you, like, how have you raised your kids? Do you want your kids to have the same drive as you? What advice do you have when it comes to being a father?
Well, I haven't been the best father, so I wouldn't try to give advice. I'd seek it. I mean, I can tell you some good fatherly advice from what I should have done, but I don't necessarily know that I have advice about what I've done. I've prioritized making money over time with my kids. That was a mistake. I probably should have just took the time with the kids. But then again, that's a two-edged sword. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might be in a position where, no, you spend enough time with the fucking kids. Now it's time to spend some time working. Okay. So your kids have something to deal with, like, you'll be proud of. There's a lot of people that want to use their kids as an excuse. Don't use your kids as an excuse. Use them as an inspiration.
Last question, Brad. With the current economic climate, I don't know, like, it feels like we're already in a recession. It feels like customers are more weary. Have you pivoted your business in any way to adjust to this new climate, or do you think the climate hasn't changed?
Well, again, the climate is changing, but the climate's changing in my favor.
Mm.
And, you know, what we do, people are going to do more of it. And again, I mean, that's what I would suggest if I were coaching you in business. You know, come up with something that's growing and exponentially, you know, growing instead of dying off. Like, don't start a newspaper, bro.
And I feel like you're right. Like, education, training is growing. People want to sort of not go to university, learn a skill that they can use to make money. But it feels like the customers...
And by the way, if you could learn how to make $1 million, would you rather do it in 10 hours or 1 hour?
1 hour.
Right. So a lot of people think, you know, I need all this content. You don't need content, dude. People want to learn it quick. Can you teach it quick? Can you teach someone how to do something good in 2 hours or less? The answer is yes. Well, then, dude, invest 20, 30 grand, make 2 hours or less, put it in a training system, promote the shit out of it, and you'll make $1 million a month. Oh, it's not that easy, Brad. Yes, it is.
How do you teach people to make that? Like, how do you sort of like, because it's hard. Like, people have habits they have to break. How do you break those habits for them, and how do you help them do that?
You don't. You give them the right information, right? You teach them the good information with repetition and practice and accountability. And the ones that comply and do it, you know, succeed. And the ones that don't, fail. And then again, if you've done your job, they'll realize they failed because they failed to do the work. And if you fail to do the work, you have to go question what you truly want, because it's obviously not what you claim it is.
And when you're sort of talking to these people who want to sort of join a 20 to 30K program, I don't know about you, Brad, but like 2-3 years ago, jump on a call, one call closed, they were down. But nowadays, people want to think about it. They want to get back to you. They don't want to make a decision on the spot. And the customer's life cycles are like much longer. You want to warm them up, build a relationship until you get them to close. Is it just me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, see, you just said the exact opposite of what's true for me.
Wow.
Like, dude, it's getting easier. Dude, it's easy to get someone to want to pay you $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 just like that to help them get where they're going. It's easier and easier and easier. Why? Because more and more people are doing it, and more people are starting to talk about what they did. And what they did is they hired a coach, they hired a mentor, they hired someone to show them, which again, that works. Why does it work? Well, because you're figuring out how to do it from the person that's already done it. You do the work and you end up getting the same results as they got. Why? Well, because like action causes like result.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Brad. I want to be respectful of your time. I think we went a bit over, so sorry. Thank you so much. I love how real you are. You're so calm. You've made me feel comfortable. I've watched your content, so I've been a big fan. I was worried I was being nervous, but you're so calm and you allowed me to be just a comfortable learner and listener. So thank you, Brad.
Well, Andy, you seem a little too calm to be one of my followers. You do it straight for pure like amusement. Like, in other words, man, this guy's intriguing. I've never seen such a loud fellow.
Yeah, I think I'm naturally not loud. I'm naturally not extroverted, but like, you're super motivated. I love how you are so yourself. And I've seen other business people, like I see the similarities of other people, and they get it from you, Brad. I totally see the transfer.
Well, that's called an influencer. Yeah. I'm an influencer of the influencers. I influence influencers.
Yeah, like your personality, like people, like I'm sort of following some other sort of gurus, and they're like, I'm like, damn, like talking to Brad one-on-one right now, I'm like, that guy's like a Brad 2.0.
Well, I don't know who you're referring to, but good. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm rubbing off on somebody. But I can tell you this. I think the universe weeds out people effectively for you if you just become authentic. So if you become who you are and you focus on, you know, who you are, and you make yourself happy, because again, you can't make everyone happy, so you got to choose. Well, are you going to choose him, her, who are you going to choose? Well, you might as well choose yourself, because that's the only person you can control. So I choose myself to make happy. I start to realize, hey, I need to like me. I don't need you to like me. I need to like me. So I got to start working on myself. And then you start to get a little confidence. You start to get a little reassurance. And then pretty soon people, they don't see that often. So they're like, wow, I like that guy. Well, some say this guy's a big mouth blowhard dick. Well, dude, that's the universe weeding the people out that shouldn't be around you. So good to that person, you should come across as an arrogant dick. And they go, oh, this guy's a dick. And you go away. Good. Go away. Like, why? I don't want to be surrounded by people that don't like me. I don't want to be surrounded by people that don't encourage and support me. I want to be surrounded by people that support me and like me. So if I just be me and honestly me, I let the universe weed out the others. I find an audience that loves me. Right? So there's too many people out there worried about the hate to find the love. See what I'm saying? They're so scared of the hate that they'll never find the love. I'm not afraid of the hate. Why? because I understand that that's the universe weeding out the people for me. All I got to do is be me for that to work. You have to be you. See, a lot of people, they're not themselves. So they're surrounded by a bunch of him-hawing, backstabbing, jicky-jack people. And they don't understand why they can't ever succeed. Well, you're around the wrong people. Well, how do I attract the right people? You become the right people. You attract the right people by being the right people. See what I'm saying? You be you and the right people will materialize. And the wrong ones, which I always say the right ones will dematerialize, meaning the right ones will come and the right ones will go. How's that possible? Because the ones that went should have went. And the ones that stayed should have stayed. So the right ones come and the right ones go. As long as you personally own who you are and stand in your certainty.
Brad, do you think that also works with getting a bunch of girls, being yourself?
100%. Just so happens, yes, it does. Why? Well, because, dude, women like guys with confidence. Women like guys that are not sitting there worried about their every thought and whim. Like, again, when they say nice guys finish last, I totally disagree. I think nice guys finish first all the time. But when it comes to getting girls, dude, the old saying, date them like you hate them, treat them like you don't need them. There's some truth to that. And I don't recommend it. I think you should be respectful at all times to everybody. However, I know this to be true. In a relationship, the one that cares the least is in control. So if you're not in control of your relationship, they don't love you very much and you don't understand why, well, they're in control. You know, well, they could take you or leave you and you don't like it because you think you're the best person in the world and they should love you the way you are and blah, blah, whatever you think is irrelevant. What's relevant is who cares the least in that relationship. Because whoever cares the least has the advantage. It's like I got a saying in life, dude. I say, I don't fuck anybody, but I like to be in the position to. You know what that means?
You got options.
It means I got the upper hand. I love having the upper hand. I don't fuck people, but I like to be in the position to. I like them to look up and know all I got to do is push, friend. And aren't you thankful I'm not? Because I could, but I'm not. I like to be in that position. That's just simply the upper hand. Why is it bad to want the upper hand? Why can't someone say, I wish I had the upper hand in all situations? Oh, you're a dick. If you think that's a dick, I think you're stupid. Just like people say, gold diggers, gold diggers, gold diggers. We got to watch out for gold diggers. Why do you got to watch out for gold diggers? Like, do you want to date stupid people? Stupid people sit there and date broke people. Why would you date a broke person if you had a choice? Like, if you have a choice, why would I date a broke person if I could date a rich person? Well, what if you love a broke person? What if you love a rich person? Why would you choose broke? It makes no sense. I didn't say why would you stay with broke. That's called love. That's called a relationship. That's called loyalty. I didn't say why would you stay with broke. I said why would you choose broke? Like, I'm single. I'm going to go pick somebody. I know. I'm going to pick this fool over here that hasn't worked in 2 years and can't scrape up enough money to get gas for his car to pick me up. That's who I'm going to fall in love with and have a baby with. Why would you do that? You wouldn't. If you're actually being intentional, you'd say, I have now, by the way, these are called standards. You just raise your standards is all you do. And then you're not dating the bums anymore. Okay. You're dating the winners. Why? Because that's one of your standards. And when someone says you're a fucking gold digger, tell them to kiss your shiny gold ass and don't worry about it. Why? Well, because, dude, that just tells me that you're intelligent. So I would not want to date the opposite of a gold digger, because that tells me that they're not very intelligent. And one of my standards is that you're intelligent. And the fact that you're choosing someone with money shows me you're intelligent. Because let me tell you something, it's easier with money. Relationships go better with money. One of the main reasons people get divorced is because of money. So if you can solve the money problem before you even get in a relationship, sounds pretty smart to me. Well, they're gold diggers. That's some bullshit past analysis given out by somebody who couldn't get the rich person. So they threw shade talking about, well, they're gold diggers. And then all of a sudden, everyone jumped on the bandwagon that couldn't get rich people either. And pretty soon it's like, now you're made fun of if you like somebody that has money. And by the way, if you're on the other end, if you're the old man with the money and you got some hot chick, they're gonna think you're some sort of sucker because you got a hot young chick. Yeah, like, dude, don't threaten me with a good time. Like, dude, that's the loser. I'll take the loser. Like, dude, that I'll take that. Like, you, what do you want me to do? Have no money and an ugly chick that loves me for me? Like, dude, no thanks. I'll take the hot chick that loves me because I got enough dough. Like, let's start there. Okay. Now, if after a while we don't get along, there's no connection, I can divorce her just like she could divorce me. And hey, we tried, didn't work. Guess what I'd be looking for next?
The next hot chick, gold digger.
Because I'm not going to lower my standards. If anything, I'm going to raise my standards. Okay. I've always raised standards. Okay. This is my second wife. Okay. That's why we've been together longer than my first wife, because I raised my standards.
So
you got to look at the relationship that you're in right now and ask yourself, do you need to raise standards? Because 9 times out of 10, the reason you're in the relationship you're in that you complain about, that you freaking don't like, that you wish some shining heroes, you know, knight in shining armor would save you from, that same relationship, you're tolerating. You're the one tolerating that relationship, and now you're sitting there feeling helpless that you're trapped in it. You're not trapped in shit. You could literally get up and walk out the door right now and you wouldn't have that relationship any longer. But you're afraid to. Why are you afraid to? Why are you afraid to walk out? Well, because you're not sure, certain that you're gonna, you know, have another guy or a girl. So you get all insecure and you stay in bad relationships, which means you're tolerating it. So again, when someone says, I'm in a bad relationship, what do? First thing you need to do is choose not to be. See how easy that is? Like, you choose not to be.
So like,
it's a choice. So again, I don't want to go too long because I know we're out of time, but at the end of the day, all I'm saying to your listeners and you, if this fits, is you got to figure out what it is that you want. That's the hardest part. Once you figure out what it is that you want, then you figure out how to get it by simply finding someone who's already done it. And then you figure out exactly what they did, and then you go do what they did. And then you very intelligently listen to the feedback. That's what you do to get anything you want in life. My name's Brad Lee. You can find me on the old Google. Just Google my ass, Brad Lee, L-E-A. People say, is that Leah? I say, no, it's Lee. They're like, that's not Leah. And I'm like, well, I guess it would be if you drank Tia, but since you drink tea, nope, it's tea like Lee. So L-E-A, Brad Lee, L-E-A, and Google me and you'll see where to find me everywhere and all over. And I hope you do. And by the way, the listeners that don't like me, I apologize. Maybe next time, friends. Maybe next time I'll say something that resonates. Good night, mate.
Thank you so much, Brad. I love you. You're amazing. You have such a unique personality. You're so yourself. You're preaching the right things. Like, people have to be themselves. And I'm so grateful for your time today. You're so raw. You're so kind. You're down to earth as well. Even though your personality might feel the opposite, you're actually the opposite. So thank you.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
This is another episode of the podcast. If you guys got value, please let me know. And I'll see you guys next week with more value. Peace.